This is the Talking Pictures podcast, presented by the Film and Photography Society at UCLA. Today, we'll be talking about video games adapted into movies and TV shows. But first, a brief introduction of our guests and their favorite video games. I'm Eli. My favorite video game is Metal Gear Solid 3 for the PlayStation 2.
I'm Sam, and my favorite video game is Zelda Breath of the Wild, but also the Fire Emblem series.
Hi, I'm Andrew. I'm the Outreach Director of FPS, and my favorite game of all time is FIFA 14. I just have so many memories with it. And so, yeah, that's why I really love that game.
So it's been a very big year for video game adaptations. We've had three pretty big ones, right? The Last of Us being one of the biggest prestige TV shows of the year. The Super Mario Brothers movie being one of the highest grossing movies of the year and of all time. And Five Nights at Freddy's also making a pretty big splash during Halloween season. So video game movies historically have not done very well, both at the box office and with critics especially. And there's clearly a pattern with TV shows and movies that are adapted from the medium of video games. So I guess the first thing to talk about is trying to figure out why video game movies and TV shows have historically sucked.
Okay, so I think one of the biggest reason why video game adaptation sucks is because video games are so loved and desired because of how much agency it gives a player. And I think taking that away from the film itself kind of takes away like a key aspect of what makes games so good.
So for me, I think that it's tough for video games to be adapted to films and TV shows because the player's choices inform the stories of these games. And so the beauty of these games is that it allows the players to really have agency over what happens. But you can't really translate that into a film because in a film or a TV show, the writer controls it and the audience is more just subjected to what happens. The best filmmakers will never make a video game movie. Like Martin Scorsese would never make a video game adaptation into a movie or a TV show because video games are often seen as juvenile. And so the greatest filmmakers will probably see themselves as being above that.
While you're talking about, you know, the best filmmakers will never make a video game movie, it's kind of ironic because it seems like video game movies only go to the worst filmmakers. And it's always sort of the same ones, right? They keep historically hiring directors like Uwe Boll, who did like Blood Rain and Far Cry and Postal and Alone in the Dark. Or they're still hiring Paul W.S. Anderson, who did all the Resident Evil movies and the 95 Mortal Kombat movie and Monster Hunter. And it's sort of interesting that, like, despite the fact that these movies keep not doing well with audiences and with critics, that they keep hiring the same directors over and over to make them. And maybe that's because nobody else really wants to do it.
You know, I still think that even though video game adaptations are not critically quite successful, the reason why they're continuing to be made is that they are commercially successful. I think they do pretty well at the box office, and that's because they represent franchises and brand names that are super recognizable. And obviously, anyone that's a huge Mario fan would want to see the Mario movie. Anyone that's a huge Five Nights at Freddy's fan would want to see the Five Nights at Freddy's movie. Like, that's just intuitive, you know? So when you have existing IP that is already so successful and so popular, you're going to attract a massive audience, and massive audiences means more money.
No, I mean, look, there are plenty of bad video game adaptations that have actually made tons of money. Warcraft was actually, like, made a ton of money. Both of the Sonic movies, Uncharted, Rampage, the one with The Rock, that's based on an arcade game. You know, they do make a lot of money, and I think it helps that, like, even though a lot of fans know the movies are going to be bad, they still want to like see it for themselves and they still show up and that still sells tickets. But none of these movies, except for, you know, the Super Mario Brothers movie, which just made a ton of money. And I think a lot of that is just because of brand recognition. They really targeted it towards the right demographic. You know, these movies don't do incredibly well, and especially not very well with critics. There's only a handful of them that have above 50% on Rotten Tomatoes.
The Super Mario Brothers movie is the 16th highest grossing movie of all time, which is a ridiculous statistic.
Yeah. And I think we'll talk more about that movie later, because I think that was one of the successes of video game adaptations this year in one way or another. Mm-hmm. I think we've touched on a lot of reasons why video game adaptations historically have not been very good. I think there is something about the medium that's very hard to adapt. And I also think they keep giving it to very bad directors who aren't equipped to take on that challenge. Mm-hmm. And there's also sort of a question of, you know, I think there's people expect different things from video game stories than they do from movie stories, right? I love The Legend of Zelda games. I think they're great. I think their stories are really awesome. But when you take away the gameplay, a lot of them are very like cookie cutter fantasy plots. And so I think that makes it really hard to adapt a video game, which always is first and foremost around gameplay. By taking out the most core part of that, you're left with what's usually a pretty by the numbers basic story. And I think there are some exceptions to that, which I guess is a good segue into talking about good video game adaptations. And I know all of us want to talk about The Last of Us.
Yeah.
Yes, yes, yes.
So if anyone wants to just get started on that.
I think The Last of Us is one of the first, like, real narrative games that I've played, or at least, like, games that I played without, you know, my sister standing right behind me. But when they announced that it was going to be adapted and Pedro Pascal was going to be playing Joel, I always thought it would be a really seamless transition from a video game to a live-action adaptation, and having it as a show was a really great decision that the studio made. But kind of looking at it, I think the reason why it was so easy to transition was because of how, like, the storytelling was already a super big part of the gameplay. Because as someone who plays a lot of video games and kind of cherishes how gameplay is, like, constructed, I felt like the gameplay and the story were very hand-in-hand with each other, and that it was already very cinematic. But kind of looking at it now, I do think that the story itself in the game was very linear, and I think that's what kind of solidified what made it so, like, easy for it to be adapted, because, like, you know, you didn't really have many decisions story-wise as the player, which is usually not the same with other games. And it just worked really well because that and the creator of the game had such a big part of, like, the development of the TV show.
What made The Last of Us adaptation so successful is that it already had a great story at its core. Obviously, the gameplay is important and was what made the game so great, but the story itself is why people love it so much. I always hear, oh, The Last of Us has a great story, has great writing, he has one of the greatest endings of all time. And to translate that into a TV show is much easier.
Yeah, and they were pretty, like, close to heart with the storytelling. Everything is almost, like, exactly the same, other than small tweaks that they made with Sam and Henry's characters that didn't really change much at all. Yeah, I don't know if they made any other changes.
Yeah, so I guess I can talk about it a little bit more as somebody who is a big fan of and has played both the first and the second game, and has been following the production of this TV show a little bit longer. You know, when they first announced it as a Last of Us movie, I was very much, I thought it was going to be bad. You know, it's a 20-hour game. That's a lot of it is story, and even in the gameplay, they're building story. So how do you make that into a 2-hour movie? Then they made it into a TV show on HBO, and I said, okay, this is potential, but you're still taking a story that's already pretty much perfect, and you're just cutting all the gameplay out of it, right? Which was such an important part. And I was of the belief of once you cut gameplay out of a game, it's just going to be a lesser version. But what Craig Mazin and Neil Druckmann ended up doing that was so smart about it was that they also thought about what you can add in a TV show or a movie that you can't do in a game. And so what they were really smart about is adding a lot of moments where they changed perspective. You spend the entire game as Joel or as Ellie following that story. But in the TV show, they would go and they would show flashbacks from another perspective, or they would follow a different character or do things that you couldn't really do in the game because jumping from controlling one character to controlling another character, you know, in a completely different place or completely different time would be way too jarring. And so I think because they were able to figure out the exact advantages and disadvantages of the medium and how to adapt the story, they were very purposeful about the changes that they did make. And I think that did make for a very good adaptation that actually adds a lot to the game and sort of, I think it's a good companion piece that they both sort of have things that they do well and better than the other. I think there is one negative, which is that, at least for me, you know, in the ending of the game, without spoiling too much, there's a very big choice that Joel makes that's, I guess, a little bit difficult or controversial. And in the game, there's sort of this moment where you're confronted with it and you realize that you, as the player, might not want to make that choice, but you don't have the option because Joel does. And it's this really interesting moment of what's called ludonarrative dissonance, right? Where there's sort of a difference between the protagonist and the player controlling the protagonist. And the way that the game plays with that is really unique and says a lot about the game and says a lot about the character. And when you move that into a show, the ending was still really impactful, and seeing, you know, the main character make a big choice that you disagree with is really powerful and affecting, but it doesn't have the same effect as when you're the one who has to do it. And I think that is an area where the way that the game was built simply couldn't be adapted for TV. But otherwise, I think they really did everything they could. And they were very, very purposeful and meticulous about every single change that they made from the game to the TV show. And it really shows. And they had a very talented team. And I think Craig Mazin is clearly a huge fan of the game. And he's a very talented director. And it shows. And I'm actually really excited for season two.
Mm-hmm. But also, like, the not the budget, but the quality of work that this show is so much better than other adaptations I've seen. Like, some can argue that the Monster Hunter adaptation has good CG and good design and everything, but I think The Last of Us putting, I think making, like, the runners and then the clickers and all of the different, like, enemies I have so much detail to them, and seeing how they were created and structured were just so amazing to see. Just really great. Nothing bad to say about it.
Yeah, and I think The Last of Us is one of those games that, like, to really realize the vision, like, you need a big budget HBO show. And it's clear that this is one that Naughty Dog and Neil Druckmann in particular really cared about getting right. You know, in contrast to Uncharted, which they just sort of let be a big budget Hollywood movie that wasn't a very good adaptation. So, but let's talk about other good video game adaptations. Does anyone want to bring one up that they really like?
So a video game adaptation to a movie that I actually really enjoyed was a Hitman starring Timothy Oliphant, I think is how it's pronounced. I just remember that movie being really enjoyable and fun. It wasn't absolutely spectacular or mind-blowing or super critically acclaimed, but it was a good time. It was not offensive, and yeah, it was just a really solid action movie.
Yeah, it's either like a double-edged sword, because some stories have like very specific stories that are really good to follow, like The Last of Us, but then some, like, let me put an example out, like the Super Mario Brothers, where it kind of had a concept as in like an established character, the princess, and kind of making a story of its own, because, like, you know, Princess Peach isn't the damsel in distress, it's rather Luigi, so they kind of need to craft their own story rather than like fully adapting a story in and of itself into like a TV show similar to The Last of Us. So it kind of is a double-edged sword, but it kind of goes back and forth depending on each like video game adaptation.
I think you're right about the Super Mario Bros. Movie. I think they had a little bit more leeway there because nobody really plays a Mario game for the story. And so I think the adaptation, in order to get everything right, really all they had to get right was the world and the characters, which I think it did. It felt like it was a faithful adaptation of maybe not a specific Mario game, but the Mario brand and the Mario franchise. And I think that's what made it work. And I think that's why people went and saw it. And that's why it made so much money. You know, it appealed to kids like the real Mario games did, and it was fun, and it felt kind of like a Mario game played. And I think it did that well enough that it was good. In a very similar vein, this might be a hot take, but I actually think the Sonic the Hedgehog movies are pretty good.
Yeah.
For the same reason, right? They're basically nothing to do with the games, except for the fact that they have the character of Sonic and they do the character perfectly, in my opinion. Because Sonic has always been more about the character and the mascot than it has been about the gameplay. So when they get Sonic right, that's really all that needed to work. And they do. And even though the movie is really, like, by the numbers and full of product placement and, like, so full of, like, every trope ever, like, I think it works. I had a fun time. I liked it. It felt like a good adaptation of Sonic. I don't know. It might be a hot take, but I think it works. Oh, this also brings me to, I just wanted an excuse to bring up what I believe is the greatest video game movie ever made, which is Wreck-It Ralph.
Yes.
Genuinely, I think Wreck-It Ralph is incredibly underrated. It is a great animated movie. It is probably in my like top five, if not top three animated movies ever. But it works because it's like a movie about video games that doesn't have any shackles of like a pre-existing video game story to work with. It is clearly like a love letter to video games, and that it includes, you know, all these video characters and references, and like there's so many small details and things like that that are, you know, references to specific video games, but it is able to tell its own story, and I think that's what makes it so good. We don't talk about the sequel though, one of the biggest disappointments of my entire life.
For the record, Wreck-It Ralph is one of the top 10 greatest animated movies for me of all time. Yes. While the sequel is one of the worst movies that I have ever seen.
I agree.
And
I guess while we're talking about video game adaptations and movies that are out there, I do think we need to talk about the Five Nights at Freddy's movie.
Oh, yeah. I almost forgot about that. Peace and love, I almost forgot about that. Well, to start, Scott did have a really big part of the creation of the movie, so that's one thing, for better or for worse. But other than that, I mean, I think I am the type of person who watched hours and hours upon MatPat Game Theory videos on FNAF, so that's where I get most of my knowledge of the games, because I was too scared to play them and I only watched gameplay. But from what I remember watching it the two times that I did, they did pretty okay with adding the little tidbits of like the lore that we wanted to see as a viewer, but also just completely missing some of the greater parts of it.
I think it focused a little too much on trying to get all of the story right and exactly how it was in the games, but sort of forgot in the middle of there what made them popular horror games to begin with, which was that they did a really good job at building atmosphere and tension, which the movie never really tried to be a horror movie, except for like one scene. It didn't really feel like it was actually trying to replicate the very tense and claustrophobic gameplay of Five Nights at Freddy's as much as it was trying to, you know, the lore and the backstory behind it all, which, you know, even for the original games was never really the big draw as much as it was just that they were good horror games. But I will say that the movie was so bad that it made me appreciate even the parts of the games that I thought weren't very good that it did so much better than the movie.
Yeah. I think the amount of additions that they made with Josh Hutcherson's character, I don't want to say that like it took away from the story, but I felt like it did. Because like, I agree, I feel like what makes FNAF so popular is because of how it was as a horror game and how scary it was and how tense it made you feel while playing it. But I felt like, okay, night one is over, he's back at, and we're learning about his backstory, I'm not scared anymore. And that kind of brought me out of it, and then I would get back into it when he was scared. But then I realized that, like, after understanding and knowing right off the bat about why, you know, these animatronics are moving and how these children are haunting them, I think I was really pulled out of it in like a horror immersiveness type of way. It just wasn't as scary as I wanted it to be, as someone who doesn't like scary movies too. I'm a scaredy cat.
No, I agree. I think it stopped being interesting once they sort of just dumped all of the lore information on you, which feels like a really big misstep, because even in the games, most of that is like very hidden. Like, you have to deliberately seek out a lot of that information. It's not really presented to you. And I think that unknown is what makes most horror scary. It's like, you don't know what the monster is or like what's going on. Yeah. And the movie sort of explains it to you like halfway through, and then it just kind of gives up trying to be scary. I mean, you have a scene with animatronics literally building like a table fort with a child. Like,
yeah. Some of the best parts and most interesting and also scary and cryptic parts of the FNAF games are finding different pieces of the lore and story and then crafting it in rather than it just being told to you through like a character interaction. Guys, that's why I love MadPat. That's why I love Game Theory. It's kind of crazy. I shouldn't say that, though. His cameo was fun, though.
Okay, now that we've talked about some video game adaptations and whether or not they have been good in the past, there are a huge slate of video game adaptations that are always perpetually in development at different studios, and I wanted to sort of rapid fire go through them and ask y'all if you think that they're going to be any good. So first, let's start with a live action BioShock movie that's supposed to be happening at Netflix. Will it be good?
Okay, so I don't think this will be good just because it's Netflix and I don't trust Netflix.
Oh no, I didn't know that it was going to be from Netflix. Me neither. I don't think it'll be good because it's from Netflix.
BioShock is a great game story, but it is absolutely one of those game stories that only works because it's a game. Yeah, because it's like a commentary of like you as the player controlling the protagonist. And as soon as you take that away, it's just like, it doesn't make sense.
I don't know. I think a lot of mine, again, is from BioShock 2, where you're playing as the Big Daddy, right?
Yes. I believe so. Yes, BioShock 2 is when you play as the Big Daddy.
Yeah, and then like, that being one of my first games, it fully introduced me to like the idea of the story is only the story because you as a player have that agency to make the decisions that you're making, whether it be good or bad. So because of that, I don't think it's going to be that great, especially because like each BioShock game is so different from the last, not in terms of atmosphere, but in terms of like what your character is in this world.
I do think, though, if they put enough of a budget into it and they get a version of Rapture that looks good, to me, that's enough. It might be good enough.
I agree, but I don't think they will.
All right, the next one in the list, a live action Minecraft film starring Jason Momoa.
Masterpiece.
Really? Do we know what studio?
Warner Brothers is doing the movie. And it's being directed by Jared Hess, who did Napoleon Dynamite and Nacho Libre.
So it's a comedy. Okay.
At one point it was supposed to be directed by Rob McElhenney from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. And that was a movie that I absolutely would have paid to see. But I just don't know. Like,
At least I know now that the movie is made to be silly. So it's not going to be a movie that's going to take itself seriously. So I think I'm going to be okay with it.
But the question is there any way that they could adapt Minecraft and make it good?
I agree. I can't say that's going to be good, but I can say that's going to be fun.
So I think the Minecraft movie will probably make a ton of money. Actually, no, definitely can make a ton of money. And it'll be a lot of fun. I mean, Jason Momoa in Minecraft, like, that's awesome.
The audience will for sure be there. It will probably make tons of money. Next one on the list is a live-action Portal film at Warner Brothers that I believe J.J. Abrams is directing, or at least his company is working on it. It was announced like over a decade ago at this point, but it's apparently still in development.
I love the Portal games, and I think we should leave it at that. It's also, again, like, I think I wouldn't say that, like, Portal is a puzzle game first, and then I would say the horror and suspense part of it comes second. But I do think that, like, losing that, like, sense of being the player, having the agency of doing these puzzles yourself and solving these puzzles yourself, I think it takes away from what makes Portal so good. Right?
Is Portal even still relevant anymore?
I think
it's a loyal fan base is what it is.
Yeah, and I think you know, for me, the biggest problem, like Sam said, I think it's a puzzle game first and foremost. And the story is fun and the characters are interesting. But what makes it so good is that it is a good puzzle game. And how do you adapt Portal, like, to a movie? Like, what do you put in the test chambers? Are you just going to watch someone solve a puzzle? Which is, like, I just don't think it can work. And I think that's probably why it's been in development for 10 years at this point with no real update on, you know, starting pre-production or anything like that. Because I think they're really struggling to make it as a screenplay.
I wouldn't be passionate about writing it either.
Next one on the list, live action Fallout TV series. It's going to be at Amazon, and the head writers are Jonathan Nolan and Lisa Joy, who did Westworld.
That's it. I think I'm always like, oh, this is not going to be good, especially if it's from Amazon. And then you talk about Westworld, and I'm like, oh, this is going to fucking slay. Again, not really much of a story other than it's a Fallout game. It's all about world building, all about exploring the world that these creators made. And I think with the amount of world building Westworld does, it's going to be good. I don't doubt that. And I think they're going to make a really great thing out of it.
Andrew?
So the Fallout TV series, I think that given in the hands of these writers that are clearly passionate about it and with the right amount of funding and the right amount of studio support, I think this series could be very successful. Now, I personally am not familiar with the Fallout video game series myself, but I can see video games with strong stories and interesting worlds and very clever and creative world building can definitely turn into great movies and TV shows.
Now, I actually think, and I for years have thought, that this is the best hope at being a good video game adaptation, even more than The Last of Us, in my opinion, because Fallout has never been about a specific story or specific characters. Each game is like different, but the world is the same. So as long as they get the world right, which, like you said, I think these two have absolutely the capacity to do that, they can do whatever they want with the story. And that gives them a lot of freedom to just make a good story that works for TV. So for me, I think the Fallout TV series has the best chance that any movie or TV show has ever had at being a good video game adaptation. If I had to put money on one of them, it's this one.
I agree.
All right, next one. Sam, I know you really wanted to talk about this one. A live action adaptation of Firewatch.
Yeah. I don't know. In one of my internships for a little small company called Rogue Initiative, one of my big jobs was to create an IP board on video game adaptations that are going to come out. And when I saw Firewatch amongst a shit ton of other games, like, you know, Halo potentially getting an adaptation, Beyond Two Souls getting an adaptation, but seeing Firewatch, a very tiny indie game that I've played and watched so many other people played, was really surprising to me, especially because, like, while it's a lot of gameplay and very, you know, monotonous work and very minimal story is what I'd say, it was one of the stories where you felt like you wanted to be promised a sequel but it never showed up because it was all left to suspense, and then the Firewatch person that you built a relationship with just disappears and then you never hear from them. So it's a game that I felt like I really enjoyed playing and watching, but then having this promise of a sequel or promise of getting more from the story through a movie felt very bittersweet to me, especially because, like, I'm a video game lover and I feel like I love video games first more than I do any type of watching medium. So seeing this adaptation was very fun to follow, but from what I know, it's not halted production, but it's pretty slow in terms of how much you can hear back from it. But I think I'm excited not to watch it, but more of, like, to see what they do with it, especially because it's such a small game and I feel like not much people have heard about it.
I've had Firewatch in my Steam library for years, and unfortunately I'm still not gotten around to playing it.
Yeah.
But I've also heard it's a very good story game and hopefully could make for a very good adaptation. Mm-hmm. And there are two that have been very recent announcements that I would like to talk about. The live-action adaptation of the indie horror game Iron Lung, starring and written and directed by Mark Markiplier Fishback.
Who's producing it? What studio is it under?
I don't think there's a studio. I think it's just being done indie. He might be funding it himself.
Because, like, the whole concept of Iron Lung is that it's a sci-fi movie, and I think specifically with sci-fi movies, you need to be very specific with how you do it, whether it be, like, the alien is omnipresent, you never see the alien, you never see the threat, and you need an immaculate team to make the world great. Like, you need I don't want to make the assumption that, like, Markiplier isn't a esteemed writer or that he's, like, inexperienced writing. And I'm sure he has a really amazing team behind him. But then it's a lot of world building that needs to be done, especially if the whole concept is that the main character is a prisoner and then he's basically sent to this planet to help this organization. But, like, the underlying message that he was sent here to die. And that the entire world is also made out of blood. So, it's a lot. And I think it would need to take a lot for it to be really great. But I already know from, you know, Markiplier's fan base, but also the amount of attention that Iron Lung's got, how open he is about the production of it. And also the amount of hype we got when the first teaser trailer was announced. I do think that's going to make a lot of money. And I also do think that people are going to be very happy about it, whether it's good or bad.
Look, Iron Lung is a very small indie game. And it's clear that if Markiplier was not the one behind this and really trying to make it happen, it wouldn't have been adapted. So I think that's, I guess, something that is really positive about it, is that it's clearly somebody who loves games and cares about the material and wants to make it into a movie. But also, we don't really know if Markiplier can act or write or direct. And if he can't do those things, then it doesn't really matter if he cares about the source material, if he can't make it into a good movie. So I hope it's good, but it's yet to be seen. Mm-hmm. And then lastly, and I'm sure everyone will want to talk about this, they just announced, this was in the past week, as of when we're recording this, a live-action Legend of Zelda movie produced by series creator Shigeru Miyamoto and Avi Arad, and directed by Wes Ball, who did the Maze Runner movies and is supposed to do the next Planet of the Apes movie that's coming out later this year.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes?
Do we think it's going to be good?
I think I have angrily said this during our general meetings, that I am very critical on video game adaptations, and that if they touch my baby, aka Legend of Zelda, I'm gonna have a bone to pick with everyone in the production team. However, I think I should keep my mouth shut because I'm very scared with what they do with a series this precious, because I think more than any other Nintendo game, any other Nintendo adaptations, this fan base is very overprotective of, like, the story, the relationship between Link and Zelda, the whole timeline of everything, that I feel like if they don't play it right, it's going to be very upsetting to the Legend of Zelda community, including myself, which I'm very nervous about, but I'll follow it to see how everything goes.
So a Legend of Zelda movie, now here's the thing, right? I feel like some things are better left in an animated medium. So, like, I think of animes. Animes, when turned into live action movies or TV shows, 9 times out of 10, honestly, 99 times out of 100, they end up flopping. They are bad because it just doesn't translate well into a real life medium. Sometimes it's just better to stick to animated. So for Zelda to turn into a live action movie or a live action form of media, I just don't know. I'm not sure.
I don't know if any of you have ever seen this, but in 2008, IGN for April Fool's Day made and released a trailer for a fake Legend of Zelda movie that was it was played like completely seriously and posted as if it was real because it was April Fool's Day. And I remember seeing this as a kid and absolutely losing my mind. And so hearing that this announcement is actually happening does bring me a lot of joy. Do I think it will be good? Probably not. I'm really worried about a director who hasn't really been proven and a producer like Avi Arad who doesn't exactly have the best track record. But I think that there is potential, and I think that with Shigeru Miyamoto involved, it will probably be, at the very least, okay.
Okay.
But I do think, in my like dream scenario world, a Legend of Zelda adaptation would be a TV series animated by Studio Ghibli.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep. Yeah. Yep.
It would never happen.
It would never happen.
But in like a, in a perfect world.
I agree.
And I guess while we're talking about our ideal worlds, I'm just going to leave you all with one final question, which is, which video game would you like to see adapted into a movie or TV series that isn't already? I can start. Personally, I think if The Last of Us is the gold standard for video games adapted into movies, the next in line, I think, is Red Dead Redemption.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you brought that to HBO or, you know, put enough money into it for a big prestige series, it could be a really great episodic Western.
I agree.
Okay, so I actually think Call of Duty would make a great movie because I feel like the video games always had interesting stories, interesting set pieces, action set pieces, interesting characters, great villains. So yeah, just memorable characters, memorable stories, and memorable set pieces. Those are the ingredients you need to make a really good action film. And I think Call of Duty could definitely work well as a movie franchise or series. I'm actually surprised they haven't tried to do that yet.
My dad watches a lot of war movies, and I think that if I were going to watch a war movie with my dad, Call of Duty would be a good one to watch.
And I think Call of Duty lends itself well to the medium in that a lot of the stories game to game are very different, and you can sort of just do a completely original story and call it Call of Duty. I think if you had sort of like side references and cameos from some of the major characters in the series, that could be, you know, sort of enough to tie it into the franchise and still let it be its own thing. And then Sam?
I am overall anti-video game adaptation. However, I do think that there are good ones. I feel like I take what makes a video game and like the agency that it gives to the player and then the community so close to me that I don't really have much video games to talk about that I feel like I would want to see it as an adaptation, but I do think that like Red Dead Redemption and Call of Duty are really big ones.
Sam, I think that's a great note to end on because I think you're right that a lot of people who do care about video games really take the interactivity and agency close to heart. And I think that's what has made video game adaptations so difficult. And I think that's something that every video game movie struggles with to this day. So I want to thank both of you, Andrew and Sam, for being guests on this episode.
Thank you for having me. I love talking about video games, and video games are my first love, and I'm happy that I'm able to talk about them.
Thank you so much, Eli, for having me on this podcast. This was a really great discussion. I feel like we talked a lot about what makes video game adaptations work and why they usually don't work. Yeah, I really hope you guys are as at least open-minded to these adaptations as much as we want to be and as much as we try to be. So, yes, thank you, Eli, and it was great talking to you, Sam.
That's it for this episode of the Talking Pictures podcast. Thank you for listening, and cut.